So today, here's what we're going to do. Today is Q&A Sunday. We do these a couple times a year, and this is one of the main reasons why, is because I remember when I was a kid, and even when I first became a Christian, I had a lot of questions. And the church, unfortunately, years ago, was an unsafe place to ask questions. And I would get told, well, you got to have more faith, or you just got to believe, or you just got to whatever. And so, like, when we first started Second Chance, we did these a time or two, and they were some of our most popular services. And I love the questions you guys ask, because some of the sermon series ideas that we get, if we get a question, like consistent questions, we'll be like, well, listen, we obviously need to address this. And then some questions that we get, we are not even going to answer a second chance, okay? Because if I answered that question at Second Chance, I would probably have to start Third Chance Church, and I just don't have the energy. Now, for those of you that might be skeptical, I understand, but I literally have no idea what question is going to pop on the screen. I did not pre-screen these. I have no idea. So this is called Help Him, Holy Spirit. In fact, if you can just pray that for me right now, I would really appreciate. Just help him. Some of y'all are like, double help him, God help him. Some of y'all are like, I pray that every day anyway. Thank you very much. So here we go. Our first question is, why did you stop using top 40 songs regularly in the service like you used to back in the day? I thought that was cool. Well, if we ever do a service that calls for one, we'll use it. And this is why. Let me explain this. Some people say, well, that's not Christian music. I don't think music is Christian or non-Christian. Jesus did not die for music. He died for people. And it's funny that you ask that. The song we're doing for moms next week, maybe it's a Christian song, maybe it's not. But here's what I know. It'll connect with the heart of every single mother. And it's our job to take that and tie it into something spiritual. If y'all remember last year when we did U2, Where the Streets Have No Name, and we scrolled the names of the people that have been saved a Second Chance since we started, that was unbelievable. But now that we're writing our own music and doing some stuff like that, we Ryan and I, when we sit down and we talk and we pray about the set list together, we do it with, like, how do we best create an environment where people can experience the presence of God? And to be honest with you, there's not a lot of top 40 songs out there that, can we admit, music is not as good as it used to be? I'm not talking about church music. I'm talking about, like, back when we had, like, Def Leppard and Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix and, yeah, Luke Skywalker, Eazy-E. I'm just saying, I wasn't a Christian, okay? Isn't it funny how you still remember all those lyrics? Next question. If we know that holidays are pagan, then why, as a church community, do we celebrate them? I mean, I'm not confused by the question. I'm just confused by which holidays you're referring to. Because if you want to get technical, you can trace Christmas back to the Druid Festival of Lights. If you want to get technical, you could trace, some people try to trace Easter back to a Babylonian tradition where a bunny took eggs and all this other stuff. And then you got Halloween. This is what I know. Jesus was born. The Son of God became man. We don't know when that happened. Somebody thousands of years ago decided December 25th. I don't know if he was born on December 25th or not. Probably not. But you know what? We picked that day, and we're going to celebrate it. And then Easter, nobody knows when. He rose from the dead sometime during Passover, Jewish Passover. Okay? He rose from the dead. So my thing has always been, if the pagans celebrate something and the church steps in, our role shouldn't be to be like, oh my gosh, they're already here. Our goal should be like to out-celebrate them. So at the end of the day, I just say Christmas, Jesus being born, and Easter, Jesus rising from the dead, pretty big deals. I think that we're going to celebrate those things. I hope I answered your question. I really do. I really do. I hope I answered your question. Next one. My 2-year-old daughter loves to be in service and worship with me. Why do you not allow her to be in the service with me? I don't think I've ever stopped you. So let me explain something. This is a great question. Parents, the best environment for your kid to be in is SC Kids, because they're learning about Jesus on their level. That's the best environment. If they come in here, let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to say something that you're like, oh my God, my 2-year-old shouldn't hear that. I'm not preaching for your 2-year-old. I'm preaching for adults. I will never dumb something down or hold something back because a 2-year-old happens to be in the room. By the way, and I'm not being mean, but if you want your kid to see you worship, you've got Monday through Saturday. Because if you stand in this room and you hold your hands up on Saturday, but you were rude to the checkout person at Publix yesterday, they don't think you're a believer. They think you're a hypocrite. And so I'm just saying, work on it Monday through Saturday. And then on Sunday, everything that they do over there ties into everything we do here, and you have something to talk about during the week, because I promise you, they might like the music, but if they're 2, they ain't into what I'm saying. I promise you. They really love you. No, they don't. They don't. I promise you. They told you that because that's what you wanted to hear. Yeah, I hope that answered your question. Whew, if you did bring your 2-year-old today, I'm sure we had a question last service. Anyway, next question. Will I go to hell if I have sex before marriage? Yes. I'm just kidding. Everybody's like, oh, God. No, listen. People go to hell because they don't know Jesus. Period. So there's a really great book if you are into like leadership development. It's called QBQ, the question behind the question. So let's look at the question behind the question here. Here's the question. Can I have sex to somebody I'm not married to? That's the question. And this will be my answer. It's not wise. The Bible says that we should like run from it. Flee from sexual immorality. And here's what I know. After being a pastor for over 30 years, living for nearly 53, anytime I preach on the love and the grace and the mercy and forgiveness of God, and people are really struggling with mercy, grace, love, and forgiveness, it all ties back to sexual sin. There are people in this room that have sexual sin in your past that you just regret. So the question you should be asking is not how close can I get to sin and still be a Christian, but rather how close can I walk with Jesus? Because when we're pursuing Jesus, it's impossible to pursue things that are not of him at the same time. Whew. Y'all feel the tension in the room? That's good, wasn't it? All right, let's keep going. What's next? Whoa. This is a woman. Don't judge me. You thought it too, every man in this room. Pastor P, my whole life I've struggled with anxiety and depression. It wasn't until I was in my 30s that I got put on medication. But I know we should give it all to our Lord, and that should be all we need. Do you think medication is any different than drinking alcohol or other means of coping with life? This is going to be fun. I went on an antidepressant for about a year and a half. And I couldn't feel. Like it took my ability to feel a way. I couldn't feel highs. I couldn't feel lows. And here's what's, just think about this. I know people that have been on antidepressants for 10 years and they're still depressed. Something's not working. Now, is it wrong to take medication? No. Like, for example, if you have a heart problem, let's use this, cholesterol. There's people in this room, I know, you raised in the South, you got some bad cholesterol. You drank gravy from the time you were a baby till like last week, and so you're drinking gravy and eating fat back, and you got cholesterol. Is it wrong to take cholesterol medicine? No. Keeps you alive? No. I think God does miracles like supernaturally, and I think he does miracles through medicine, through surgery and things like that. So I have no problem if you need the medication to take it. But this is what, in my personal journey with anxiety and depression, this is going to be so unpopular, but this is what I've learned. Get some sunlight. Do some exercise. Clean up what you eat and clean up what you drink and get the proper amount of sleep, and you'll be shocked at how much your anxiety and depression just kind of starts to go away. I'm telling you that from personal experience. But I am not a trained medical physician, so always talk to a trained medical, like, professional, because I am not one. I just know what works for me. Me and a friend were talking this morning. You didn't ask this, but oh God. Yeah, I'll say, if you ever get constipated, drink a cup of black coffee and go for a run. A mile in, kaboom! You like things just. Your 2-year-old probably didn't need to hear that. Anyway, let's go to the next one. Next question. What am I supposed to say when someone asks me how my pastor can remain a pastor after he's been? Dang. What am I supposed to say when somebody asks me how my pastor can remain a pastor after he's been divorced? Well, first of all, just say, oh my gosh, thank you for being perfect. Yeah. Give me a second. I literally turned right to it. That is crazy. Okay, put up Jeremiah 3, and let's go verses 1 through 6. Yeah, Jeremiah 3, 1 through 6. Yeah, there we go. If a man divorces a woman and she goes and marries someone else, he will not take her back again, for that would surely corrupt the land. Next verse. But you have prostituted yourself with many lovers, so why are you trying to come back to me, says the Lord. Verse 3. Or verse 2. Look at the shrines on every hilltop. Is there any place you have not defiled by your adultery with other gods? You sit like a prostitute beside the road waiting for a customer. It's pretty intense, isn't it? Next verse. You sit alone like a nomad in the desert. You have polluted the land with your prostitution and your wickedness. The next verse. That's why even the spring rains have failed, for you are a brazen prostitute and completely shameless. Next verse. Yet you say to me, Father, you have been my God since my youth. Next verse. Surely you won't be angry forever. Surely you can forget about it, so you talk, but you keep on doing all the evil that you can. Next verse. During the reign of King Uzziah, the Lord said to me, have you seen what fickle Israel has done? Like a wife who commits adultery, Israel has worshipped other gods on every hill and under every green tree. Let me keep reading. Let's see what this. Hold on. I'm matching it up with something that I was looking at in my notes the other day. Go to verse 10. Hold on. Don't rain. Thought after she done, did she not? Nope, sorry, go to verse 7 and 8. Go to verse 7. I thought after she has done all this, she will return to me, but she did not return after her faithless sister Judah saw this. Next verse. She saw that I divorced, faithless Israel. Wait a minute, God divorced Israel? Wait a minute, God's divorced? God got a divorce? Am I reading this correctly? I'll tell you this. Divorce sucks. If you've ever gone through a divorce, it wasn't your happiest season of life. It's painful. It's that thing that you're not proud of, and I'm not proud of it. But it's not the thing that should sideline people who feel called to do ministry. Now, it depends on the reason for the divorce. And even that has some conversations that need to be had. If Christians, I believe if we spent more time having conversations rather than heaping condemnation, we'd be able to help the world a whole lot more. I did go through a divorce. It was awful. It did suck. I am remarried, and I'm super happy. Second chance does not mean second class, because I'm incredibly blessed with a woman that's immeasurably more than all I could have ever asked for or imagined. I'm called to do ministry. And so what I would say to that person is, you probably aren't coming to our church anyway, so it's probably not worth a conversation. But is divorce a sin? Sure. So is everything else that everybody... The reason a lot of people like to point out other people's sin is so they don't have to deal with their own. Oh, and by the way, I would rather people walk in the door and just go ahead and know I'm not perfect than to have to figure it out later. Next question. Is today's Israel the same Israel in the Bible? Yeah, the borders are pretty much. Yep. I think that's what you're asking. Yep, same place. Same place, God's people. All right, next question. How can we start an online small group or small group of people and Rock Hill, Fort Mill? Just if you're on Facebook right now, type in, I'm in Rock Hill, Fort Mill. Anybody want to start a small group? Go from there. I think that's how they did in Columbia. Can we shout out to our Columbia people? Can we let them know? They were like, hey, we're here in Columbia. Now they got an upstairs campus in the back. That's how I would do it if you're on Facebook. That's how I would do it. I guess, I don't know. We're trying to figure this out just like y'all are. I've been doing it since 1990 and still feel like I don't know what I'm doing. All right, next question. Can you believe in evolution and Christianity at the same time? Sure, but it means you're not smart. No, I'm dead serious. Here's the thing. I believe in microevolution, but the scientific record every year continually proves the Darwinian theory to be a false theory. It's a theory. It's not a fact. And scientists that don't even know Jesus are coming out and pointing to the fact there absolutely was a creator. A creator that created. Listen, there is nothing in the fossil record, nothing, nowhere that shows a bird became a dog. It's not there. It doesn't exist. Well, things do change from time to time. Yeah, but the bird still stayed a bird. A bird is a bird, and a dog is a dog. And if you can show me the fossil record where the bird became a dog, I guess we had a bird dog. I don't know, but like that's... I'm hungry all of a sudden. But yeah, you can believe in evolution, believe in Christianity at the same time. This is what I know. God created the world. I don't know how he did it, but I believe he created the world, and he created every single human being on purpose. In other words, you did not come from a pool of slime that had no purpose. God custom designed you. That's what I believe. He spoke it. So, just my opinion. Next question. Oh, God. Let me do a bit of setup on this one. Got a question? Anyway, 90% of people that enter the ministry do not retire from the ministry. That's a 1 in 10 success rate. And it has nothing to do with their love for Jesus. It has everything to do with them trying to meet the expectations of people. Most people don't need to talk to me because I'm not the best person to help you. My job as the pastor is not to sit down and talk with everybody. It's to make sure you get to talk to the right person who can really help you with the need that you really have. I've got to put everybody in the best position to succeed. That's my job. And I've got a wife. We've got a couple dogs. We got a pretty tight group of friends. And I'm good. But there's a principle here. Moses led the nation of Israel out of Egypt, right? Across the Red Sea, got on the other side. And then his father-in-law, Jethro. You gotta love a man named Jethro. Jethro came to see him. And y'all pull up Exodus. Let's go Exodus. Exodus 18. Doo-doo-doo. Jethro's wise advice. Let's start in verse 13. And we're gonna start in verse 13, and we're just gonna go through verse 23. Huh. Yeah. That's good stuff. Y'all ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay. A couple of people are. The person, crap, I'm not getting my appointment. By the way, if you've ever spent extended time with me, there's nothing special about me. I promise you. There's nothing like I've had people. I literally had somebody that met me one time, and after all of a bunch of people, they were like, "I'm so unimpressed with you." I was like, "I know." I say that to myself every day. I'm so unimpressed with myself. So Moses leads the people of Egypt out of Egypt, and they're on their way to the Promised Land. And watch what Jethro tells them. Watch what happens. Here we go. Let's go Exodus 13. There we go. The next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's dispute against each other. They waited before him from morning till evening. Anybody want that job? Nope. But you want somebody to have it. Let's keep reading. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, what are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening? Next verse. Moses replied, because the people come to me to get a ruling from God. They need me, Jethro. Need me. Watch this. When a dispute arises, they come to me, and I'm the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. I inform the people of God's decrees and give them his instructions. In other words, he goes, I'm the man. Next verse. This is not good, Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. Next verse. You're going to wear yourself out and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. Watch what happens. Next verse. Now listen to me and let me give you a word of advice, and may God be with you. But you should continue to be the people's representative before God, bringing their disputes to him. Next verse. Teach them God's decrees and give them instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives. Verse 21. But select from all the people some capable and honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,150 and 10. Next verse. They should always be available to solve the people's common disputes, but let them bring the major cases to you. Let the leaders decide the smaller matters themselves. They will help you carry the load, making the task easier for you. Next verse. If you follow this advice, and if God commands you to do so, then you will be able to endure the pressures, and all these people will go home in peace. So everybody wins, not if the pastor ministers to the people, but the body ministers to the body. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I get real upset when people say they want to meet with me and they need somebody to pray, and I'll introduce them to somebody from our care and prayer team, and they'll look at me and they'll just walk away. You know what that tells me? You don't want prayer. You just want to be able to talk to me. Yep. And I'm not gonna be the selfie prayer guy. I've been down that road. It sucks. And it'll get you fired. Next question. Yes. Absolutely. Will God ever forgive me for having an abortion? Absolutely. If you ask God for forgiveness, you're forgiven. Amen. Period. Yes. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. You need to forgive yourself. Next question. I just got out of a really deep and difficult relationship. I'm drowning and I can't stop hurting myself. I feel lost and I don't know what to do. Please, okay, here's what you do. If you're here in this service today, when the service is over, when we're wrapping up, I want you to get out of your aisle. I want you to go out these back exit doors. There'll be care team members there. And I want you to tell one of them that you asked this question. We will do whatever we can to help you, to pray with you, to pray for you. Because that whole self-harm thing, listen, you can be delivered from that. You absolutely can. If you wrote this and you're not in the room, go to our website right now, send an email, tell us you're this person, and put attention Heidi, she's our executive pastor, attention Heidi, and we will make sure within the next 24 hours somebody gets in touch with you, because we will do everything we can to help you get through this. It doesn't mean you're weird. It doesn't mean you're bad. It means you're struggling. And when people are struggling, you don't push them down. You help them up. All right? Next question. Makes more money than I do. No. Listen. Yeah, I'll go here. Dabo has forgotten more about football than most of us in this room will ever know. I never understood this until I went to a game one time. I got to sit on pregame. I saw this thing called the game plan. They have it down to such a science that it blew my mind, because I came from the generation where we would huddle up in the backyard and like, all right, you're the bottle cap and you're the piece of grass. And there's always, I was always like the really huge kid that couldn't play. What do? You go long. Okay, got it. So, because it would take me a minute to get long. But anyway, and it's such a science. I don't know. This is what I do know, because people yell at him all the time. I've never seen a coach stop the game, turn around, and ask the fan in the stands, what play should I run? And run that play and be successful. I don't know. He's a good guy. Loves Jesus. Got a couple national championships. Y'all want to go back to Tommy Bowden? Next question. We're going to get out of this one without one of these. Okay. He's not the Antichrist. Let me tell you why. Depending on your view of end times theology, and we like to call it eschatology in the church world, that's a seminary word. But the way I see eschatology, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he will be well liked by everyone. Now, pretty safe to say that not everybody likes, this guy, whoever this guy is, according to scripture, it will be a man, will be very popular. He will get Israel and he'll get He'll get Israel and the Arab countries to sign a peace agreement. By the way, what do both sides really want to happen right now? Peace agreement, right? Is he just dumb? I don't think he's dumb. I really don't. And I'm being dead honest. I don't think he's dumb. But I am as serious as I know how to be. I watch my dad wrestle with Alzheimer's, and I see some of the same things. It's a little bit scary, but I don't think he's dumb. I don't think he's the Antichrist. I'll just stop it right there, because that's all you asked for. So I'm just... Next question. Stop talking about politics. You can't make this crap up. Okay. Let's do this. You brought it up. My job as a pastor, one of my primary responsibilities is to preach God's word. Uncompromised. Preach God's word. For those of you that can separate God's word from politics, you need to read God's word more. Let me just throw out a couple of examples. In the book of Genesis, when Joseph gets involved in politics in Egypt, do things get better? Yes or no? Yes. In the book of Exodus, did Moses confront Pharaoh, a political leader? Yes or no? What do you do about the book of Joshua and Judges, where judges were actually rulers among the people? Were they political and spiritual rulers? Yes. When you got 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, there are prophets that directly work with the kings and then confront the kings. When you got the book of Ezra, Nehemiah is all about being politically connected so you could do some spiritual good. When you got the book of Esther, who, by the way, her political position saved the Jewish people, if you read throughout the whole book. There are so many examples in the scriptures of politics and Christianity. Now listen, we should be highly opinionated when it comes to politics, but we shouldn't be mean about it. When people go, keep your Christianity out of my politics, I say keep your non-Christianity out of my politics, because we've walked away from God in America the past 30 or 40 years and gone down a path. How's that working for us? How's that working for our schools? How's that working for our economy? How's that working for everything else? I would argue this point that we probably don't talk about it enough. And if it gets on your nerves, go to some other like weak church that's scared to declare God's truth, because we are always going to stand on the truth of the word of God. There's no way. Listen, when Jesus comes into our life, he changes our hearts and he changes our minds, right? And if our minds belong to Christ, then what we think about belongs to Christ, right? Then if we're thinking about politics, does that belong to Jesus, or does he go, oh no, don't want to get political here? And by the way, the things we call political issues, like abortion, transgender, all that stuff, those aren't political. They're spiritual. But people call them political so the church don't have to talk about the tough things. So, next question. My 6-year-old is asking to be baptized. How to talk to him about baptism on a level that he would understand? It's real simple. Ask him, did he pray to receive Christ? Ask him, does he understand salvation? Do I think a 6-year-old can understand? Absolutely. Faith like a child. Teach them that baptism is their next step. If, as long as they understand salvation on their level, then yeah, we'll baptize them. But if it's just an eager parent wanting to get their kid dunked so they can get a good picture, and we've had that, just no. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Next question. I've been secretly struggling with addiction. I don't know. Man, addiction. Addiction is, yeah, it's a monster. I can tell you to get help. I can't tell you what you can and can't. I can't tell you what you can or won't lose. I would hope that you could rebuild your life. I would hope that you wouldn't lose your home or your child. That would be my prayer. I think there is hope for you. And this is just this is why I think that. And I tell people this, and I mean this with all my heart. I'm the weakest person you'll ever lay eyes on. No, you're strong. Okay, if I'm so strong, then why did I give in to everything that I gave into? So if Jesus can bring me through it, he can bring anybody through it. So I have no doubt by the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through your life that you can get through it. But I cannot promise you what the consequences will be. I can promise you this, the longer you wait, the greater the consequences. So if you need help with, if you want help with addiction, I would just say get help today. All right, next. We'll talk about it in 2 weeks. Next. How do I stay consistent in my relationship with Christ? For me, I put him first. Every morning when I get up, actually, I put him second. Coffee's first. But he understands. He knows that I need coffee to really connect with him. It's just a matter of discipline. You got to discipline yourself to do it. All right, we're going to do three more questions, and then we're going to be done. Three more. Y'all got it? Okay, nobody knows what's going to happen. Here we go. My mom passed away a couple years ago, and even though she was a Christian and is now in heaven, I really struggle with her not being here anymore. What are some tips you could give about coping with the loss of a loved one? I lost my mom in 1982, and it still hurts. It doesn't, like when somebody you really love passes away, like we can be happy for them and still grieve in our hearts at the same time. Because it is good for them. It does suck for us. And both of those things can be true at the same time. I will tell you, if you need to grieve, grieve. There are healthy ways to grieve. That for me, it's going for a walk. It's listening to some music. I'll write things down. Just write things down. But I would tell you that losing a mom is just really, really tough. And so for me, it depends on how you best grieve. Listening to some music, writing things down, reading the Bible, going for a walk, talking to somebody about it, and having some laughs. It really does help. Two more. All right, second. Next to last question. How can we spread the word of God in the current world where everyone gets offended and refuses to listen? What are ways to respectfully approach the subject of Christ with people in a way that will encourage them to listen instead of getting defensive or argumentative? For me, so let me back up. I used to be that guy that was looking for a fight, like a Christian fight. Now, if I meet somebody that says they're an atheist or they don't believe this, well, I instead of making statements, I just ask questions. And that's not like, oh, that's a secret tactic. No, I want to know why you believe that. I'll give you an example. Talking to a guy recently, he said, I can't believe in Christianity because I don't believe the entire Bible. He said, I can't believe in Christianity. I said, why? He said, because I can't believe the entire Bible. I was like, oh, man, you don't have to believe the entire Bible. He said, are you saying you don't believe the entire Bible? I said, no, that's not what I said. I said, you don't have to. It really confused him. Like it confuses a lot of you right now. A lot of you are like, whoa, wait a minute. Are you saying that somebody can get saved and not believe the entire Bible? Well, sir, sure. See, Christianity isn't based on the Bible. It's based on an event called the resurrection. And without the resurrection, we don't have an Old Testament. And we don't have a New Testament. We don't have a Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And we don't have a Christmas, and we don't have an Easter, and we don't have any of it. And so let's not start with what you don't believe. Let's talk about the resurrection. We got four accounts of it: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which happen to be stories in the Bible, but they are eyewitness stories which make them credible. So we're going to start with the resurrection. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Now, I've had people try to prove that he didn't, and I've never met a credible person, either in person or via some scholarly paper, that can prove that Jesus did not rise from the dead. If Jesus rose from the dead, there's some things he said that, like, for example, the story of Jonah. Jesus quoted the story of Jonah. I've had people ask me, do you believe that a fish really swallowed a man for 3 days? Sure I do. Why? Because Jesus said it happened. And if anybody predicts their own death, burial, and resurrection and pulls it off, that's my guy. That's why I'm following Jesus. So I just ask questions. I had somebody tell me, I'm an atheist. Why are you an atheist? Tell me why. I had a person tell me, I don't want to believe in God because if I believed in God, things in my life would have to change. I said, well, okay, let me just stop saying you're an atheist. Just say, I want to live my life how I want to. I had somebody in the first-timers area 2 months ago, they said, I'm an atheist. I said, why are you an atheist? And she went, I don't know. I said, why are you here? She went, I don't know. I said, are you coming back? She went, yeah, I'm coming back next week. I was like, you're not going to be an atheist long, sweetheart. You might as well go ahead and give your life to Jesus tonight. It's just going to happen. But people, listen, people are going to get offended at you because you don't believe what they do. But this is what I've learned. This is what I've learned. We can learn more about each other through asking questions than lobbing condemnation. So I'll give you an example. My stance on abortion is not popular. I offend everybody with my stance on abortion. Because some people are like, there should never be abortion under any circumstances. Some people are like, you should abort the baby like up until he's like 17 years old if you don't want him. It's crazy, the spectrum. This is what I believe about abortion. I believe that you should always, like, if this is a choice between the life of the mother, you should always choose the life of the mother, period. Some people don't agree with that, but that's my stance. Rape or incest, I believe a woman should have a right. Some people don't believe that. That's fine. We can still be friends. But I've literally asked people. I've literally sat down on a computer. I pulled up images. This is a baby at 3 months. This is a baby at 6 months. You okay with this? Because that looks like a human to me. You call it a fetus. I call it a human. At 9 months? Seriously? You okay with 9 months? No, I'm asking the question. And I'm showing the image on the computer. Are you okay with that? Because that's if that baby was delivered, it could live. And don't even try to argue for the whole partial birth abortion thing. That's just brutality. Now, once again, are you forgiven? Of course, but that's how I just ask questions. Why do you believe that? Why do you believe that? Why do you believe that? Second, is it first or second? I don't want to get this wrong. First Peter 3:15. I think it's 1 Peter 3:15. If it's not, we'll go 2 Peter. 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter. Let's try 1 Peter 3:15. No, it takes a minute. Okay, yeah. Go back to 14, and then we'll do 14 and 15. Y'all give them a hand. They're working on the fly. Watch this. But even if you suffer for what is doing right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. But watch what he says. Next verse. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Let's put the next verse up, verse 16. Always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. That would be my answer. When they elevate, Don't go to that level. Pull it back down. Ask a question. Next question. Last question. How do I know if I'm really saved? Ah, that's good. It's real simple. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. Period. If there's a time in your life, then you can look back on and you know for a fact you've accepted Christ into your life. You prayed, you accepted Christ into your life. He came in. You understood what you were doing. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. You're still saved. You might have strayed off the path, but he didn't stray out of you. Jesus still lives in you. But if there's never been a time that you've prayed to receive Christ, that you've literally asked Jesus to come in your life and be Lord, then that's how you know. And by the way, you can be saved and struggle. In fact, the fact that you struggle is an indication that you're probably saved, because if you weren't saved, you wouldn't struggle with some of the things that we struggle with as Christians. The question is, Jesus said in John 3, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Everybody in here has a physical birthday. As you look back over your life, when's your spiritual birthday? Some of y'all are like, Now, some of you can't remember the exact date. You remember you were 5 in your grandma's room, or you're 7 at vacation Bible school. That's great. But as you look back over your life, has there ever been a time in your life that you prayed to receive Christ? Because if not, you can nail that down today. Y'all stand and let's pray. Father, I want to thank you today that, God, you are not afraid to meet us where we are. God, I want to thank you for the difficult questions. I want to thank you for the fun ones. And God, I want to pray right now with heads bowed and eyes closed for the person wrestling with forgiveness. God, for the person wrestling with that addiction. God, by the way, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, if you need help with that, if you need help in any area, you step out of your aisle right now. You go out those back doors. We got care team members that would love. If you really want to, listen, if you were serious about that question, you'll go. You'll go right now. You'll go. Maybe you're here today and you just need to thank Jesus for your salvation. Maybe you're here today and you need to ask him for strength to get through. I don't know what you're going through, but I know God will meet you right there. We have a God who's merciful and graceful, and he's holy and he's worthy of our worship. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I want to thank you that your presence is just so real in this place today. And God, I just want to ask you that you would just speak to our hearts today. Fill so many people with courage and so many people with strength and so many people, God, that they would know they're not alone. And asking for help isn't a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength, because God, we all need help. Right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed here today, that last question got you, if you've never given your life to Christ, and today's the day you know you need to pray and ask Jesus to come into your life, then right where you stand this morning, right where you stand all over this room, I want to lead you in a prayer, and I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer out loud. I'm going to say it, and you just repeat it back out loud, but not alone, because our entire Second Chance family, we're going to pray this prayer with you. So you'll know you're stepping into a relationship with Jesus supported by so many people. So if that's you and you know you need to be saved today, you know you need to ask Christ to come into your life, you pray this with me. And Second Chance fam, let's make sure they don't pray it alone. Say, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I know that I'm a sinner. And I need you as my Savior.
I believe you died on the cross.
And you rose from the grave to pay for my sins. And right now, Jesus, I declare you as Lord. Come into my life and take over. In Jesus' name I pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed all over this room, do me a favor. If you just prayed that prayer before you leave today, I would love the honor and privilege of praying with you and praying for you. So if you just prayed that prayer and you just accepted Christ into your life, would you do me a favor and just hold your hand up straight up in the air? And because I want to see it, I want to acknowledge it, I want to make sure I see every single hand in the air. You just leave them up, leave them up, leave them up. God, I want to thank you today, Jesus, that you change lives every single Sunday. God, I want to thank you for salvation. God, I want to thank you for salvation in this house. God, I want to thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. And Jesus, I want to thank you, God, that you meet us where we are, but you love us too much to let us stay that way. Jesus, thank you that you change lives in this place. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And everybody that agreed said, amen. Did y'all enjoy today? Wasn't that fun? Love you guys so much. See y'all back next Sunday.